Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This is the last week in our series on spiritual storytelling. We've already talked through four different elements of our stories thus far, so let's review them quickly. First, we know that in order to tell God's story, we need to know God's story. The only way we're going to tell a story that helps people to get to know God more is if we know the biblical story and can talk about how God has shown up in our own lived experiences. Of course, this leads to the next step, which is we've got to find the places where God's story intertwines with our story. Those places where the gospel weaves into the fabric of our lives and we can share from that place. What makes our story spiritual is that presence of God's Spirit along the way. To tell stories like that, we need to take the next step and be courageous in telling our stories. In other words, we've got to tell those stories that have value for us, that mean the most to us, even if they're uncomfortable sometimes, or if we're not used to telling stories like this. Since God is the main character and the purpose of the story, the fourth is, of course, we need to use God's name when we tell God's story. I can't tell you about my friend Ben without using Ben's name, right? At some point, if we're talking about God, we need to talk about God. For people to meet Jesus, we've got to tell them about Jesus, about the Holy Spirit's activity and work in our lives. In our stories, we've got to speak God's name, give God credit, and follow God's call. So just as we make explicit God's name as we tell our stories, so too we must make obvious our invitations. We must make obvious our invitations. That's the culmination of spiritual storytelling, inviting others into God's story. Not only should these stories find the place where these stories fit with God's story, but they should be made to create space for more people, always more people, to join in God's story of meaning. Go ahead and give me the next slide, Maggie. We shouldn't gloss over the centrality of significance here. People want to join stories that mean something, join stories that are significant. That's what's central to this 11th chapter of John's Gospel, the story of Lazarus' resurrection, because all throughout it, there are invitations to these meaningful events. Jesus first receives an invitation to return to Bethany because of Lazarus' illness. He then invites the disciples to return with him despite the desire of the opponents there to kill him. Thomas knows this deadly prospect, and so he says that dose of realism within the passage, let us go so that we may die with him. All right. We hear of Jesus inviting Mary into conversation, and Mary and Martha invite Jesus to the tomb, saying, come and see. Jesus invites the disciples to roll the stone away, challenging their fear of Lazarus's decomposing body. Each of these invitations speaks to something of significance, something of meaning, something of importance or purpose. But the most significant of invitations, I think, is that one that comes from Jesus to a corpse. Lazarus, come out. To a corpse, Jesus says. Lazarus, come out. Leave behind death and return to life. Rediscover the breath, your strength, your voice. Find new opportunities where existence seemed impossible. Come into the light, leaving the shadows of the grave behind. Leave behind that stinking, rotting flesh and find the Spirit of the living God knitting the sinews back on your bones. Lazarus, come out. God's invitation to all of us is that. Leave death behind and leap into life. What makes this invitation so powerful isn't just that Lazarus is asked, isn't just that Jesus speaks it even, but it's the content of the request. Jesus' invitation is not simple, like, hey, fill out this card for me at church this morning. Hey, will you brew the coffee? Jesus is speaking to a man bound by the physical confines of the grave and the metaphysical confines of death itself, and saying that there's still life possible. Jesus speaks meaning into places apparently devoid of meaning, possibility into places that seem absolutely impossible. The invitation that Jesus offers is unique, also because it's life-giving for more than just Lazarus. Jesus' tears are comforted by the return of Lazarus to his side. And Lazarus' life is restored by the presence of Jesus. So here's my question for you then today. What kind of invitation could you offer that is this meaningful? That's life-giving for you and for other people? That deepens everyone's interaction with God's story? Could an invitation to become a part of this community be that meaningful? So let me ask another question, because what do I do other than ask questions sometimes? Let me also say this is rhetorical, so no need to raise your hands. If you don't believe that this faith community, or that church in general somewhere, is that meaningful, then why are we here? Why do we do what we do? The purpose of this place and of any church is actually fairly simple. To reconnect people with the God who gave them bodily life, so that they might discover life abundant, life everlasting, eternal joy in the present and future possibilities that God gives to all of us. That's why we gather around communion, where the body and blood of Jesus puts that holiness of God within our very DNA. One of the church fathers, the ancient theologians of the church, talked about communion centrality because it takes that physical sign of God's holiness and we actually digest it to become a part of our DNA, our body. That's why we gather around baptism, wherever the font is today, here, where the Holy Spirit hovered over the waters of creation and now brings new waters of life into the dry bones of our sin. Everything we do here, from yoga to grief groups to advocacy and inclusion for people at the margins to celebrating God's presence in art and through artists, should be telling the same essential story every single time. Because of Jesus, we can leave death behind and leap into life. Because of Jesus, those ties that bind our wrists together in the grave do not need to hold us. That is the life that only Jesus can offer, and Jesus offers it to us. And then the next step is this. Through our stories, Jesus offers it to others. That kind of meaning permeates our life together. That's why we ought to share our stories. Nothing less than resurrection. Now is the time for us to take seriously what we believe. Seriously enough to tell our stories and invite people into them. The precise reasons that all of us, I included, are not likely to invite people are complex and personal. I'm not here to diagnose anyone today. Maybe it's a struggle to believe that others want to be here. Maybe it's doubt of the life-giving potential within faith or fellowship. Maybe we're just afraid to be turned down. We've already heard enough no's in our day already. Why risk one more? But whatever it is, look again at Jesus and Lazarus. Jesus weeps over the brokenness of relationship, the absence of Lazarus from his life, and the absence of life from Lazarus's existence. And yet the right invitation brought Lazarus back from the grave, turned God's mourning into dancing at his friend's return. The life force of God can flow through our invitations. Don't underestimate what God can do through your invitation to someone to come out and live life within a church community. Now, some of you might remember a study I told you about earlier this year, but let me rehearse it just for those who are new It's called Theology Matters, Comparing the Traits of Growing and Declining Mainline Protestant Church Attendees and Clergy. Blah, academic, right? But its findings bear repeating. All churches that grow, no matter their denomination, no matter their common politic, no matter where they're at in the U.S., share these things in common. They believe God's actively at work in their lives. They believe that other people would find more meaning by being a part of that community. They believe the Bible is valuable enough to read on a regular, often daily basis, and they actively invite others to be a part of their community. Doesn't matter if you're Pentecostal, or you're Lutheran, or you're Catholic, or you're UU, those are the traits of growing churches that are shared across every single line. In other words, they find deep meaning in their faith communities, and they try to share that meaning with others. I think we have a great opportunity now. We're coming up on the most important week of the church year. We call it Holy Week, after all, right? With 5 opportunities to worship in 8 days. Also, 5 opportunities to hear me talk, so I'm sorry about that part. And wouldn't you know it, there's something that helps you to tell that story and invite people to at least experience a bit of what life is like around here. We printed these signs in color, so you know we're serious about it, that have our worship times for every service of Holy Week except Palm Sunday, and you know what time Palm Sunday is, so you can invite them to that too. And I think all of us know someone, and in likelihood many someones, who aren't connected regularly to church communities. More specifically, we might know someone who are stuck like Lazarus in the tombs of their lives that are squeezing the breath out of their lungs, and they could use an invitation to come out. So my commitment to you is this. I've already got a list going of people that I want to invite to join us who aren't normal church people. Michelle already beat me to 1 at dinner on Friday night, so good job there. I didn't even tell her who it was. I was like, hey, why don't you guys join us during Holy Week? You. I'm willing to do that, and I'm asking you to join me. That's why there's multiple of these around, so you can have one for your fridge, so you remember when we're worshiping, and one to give away. It's a wonderful opportunity to show people why we do what we do. It gives them all the information that we need, and if I can brag on our liturgies for a minute, I think they're going to be really cool services. Palm Sunday, we're actually going to process at about 10:40. We're going to leave worship and go out to the Memorial Garden to meet our friends from Grace Episcopal and Radford Presbyterian to bless the palms together as an ecumenical service right outside. Monday, Thursday, we'll have the stripping of the altar, that Last Supper experience where we take the table down and say goodbye to Jesus one last time before he enters the crucifixion. Good Friday, we're going to have a biblical Stations of the Cross experience, including art for each station from Southeast Africa. The Easter Vigil, this is my favorite, will start outside with a fire, because the part of the early church's tradition was the new fire, that new light scattering the darkness and lighting the New Year's Christ candle from that fire. At one of my old churches, they used to keep the Christmas trees, the live Christmas trees, from Christmas until, and then burn them in the parking lot until they made enough smoke that the fire department told them to stop. So, you know, we're not going to do that. We're going to have a small campfire-style thing going. We're going to have the Easter proclamation. We're going to rehearse the prophecies. On Easter morning, we're going to have Easter egg hunt and breakfast together and celebrate the resurrection. There's good stuff to invite people to see what we're all about. Many of us find deep meaning here, and we want others to know the kind of fulfillment we experience as a part of Christ's community at CLC. But people won't know what we've got to offer, and more importantly, what God's got to offer through us, unless we tell them about it. We can't expect people to know our story unless we tell our story. We need to tell our stories. There's so much good to invite people to experience in this community, and it's always introducing them to somebody. Not something, but someone. Jesus. And indeed, that's the meaning we want to share. Jesus is the story we want to tell and the significance that makes us all significant. There's one last invitation in the scripture today. Jesus invites those around him, unbind Lazarus and let him go. That's our invitation. That's what this is about. Not about putting more bottoms in more seats. It's about unbinding people, letting them come out to see what God is up to, what God is all about. Others can always join this story. So let's leave death behind and leap into life with them. Amen.